Good morning. This is Sue Gauthier Penn from the Expressive Arts Collective of Long Beach. We are still working on a name for this show, but I'm here with Christian Starnes.
And hello.
We're going to be talking about mental health and creativity.
Yes.
Kind of shooting the shit about all things mental health and the arts.
Yes. Artistically inclined and therapizing.
Yes. So, Chris.
Yes.
Do you want to be Chris or Christian on the show?
Christian. Let's go there.
Christian.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you, Sue. So I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I am stationed here in Long Beach. But my practice is currently, it's mostly because of people's interest, is telehealth. So I meet with people all over the state of California. And I work a lot with LGBTQ clients around gender, identity, trauma. I work with all sorts of people, but I identify as trans and queer myself. So a lot of people seek me out because we have that in common. But I also work with a lot of cisgender people, couples, polyamorous groups, quintuplets, whatever it may be, and bring in a lot of creativity as well, which is before I became a therapist.
Yes, tell us about your history in the arts.
Ooh, so I'm a Midwesterner originally, been out here for 10 years, and acting, that was my jam, that and singing. And I come from a very musical theater family. My brother is a professional opera singer.
I didn't know that.
He is, yeah. Okay. Yeah, his name's Kevin Starnes. Check him out. And my mom really instilled in us, like, all the classics of musicals. And just the way she could tell you about how she went to the grocery store and nothing magical would have happened there, but it felt magical. She just was a really good, energetic storyteller. So I just always admired those things. And so I was very, very shy growing up.
Just something that we have in common.
Yes. And anxiety and just not knowing who I was for a while, exactly. And so it was through drawing and theater and singing that it felt like I could be myself in a safe way. There was enough distance and still connect with people. And that got me to wanting to be a professional actor and educator, which I was for from 18 till 34. And then
you were a professor of acting.
Yes, as well. And taught at the University of Iowa for a little bit. Intro to acting, movement, voice, improv. Took a lot of classes at Second City in Detroit at the time when it was open in Chicago. And lived in Pennsylvania, New York, Chicago, etc. Doing a lot of different things. But really it was always about connecting with people, understanding other people and being understood. So it was no surprise. I always loved psychology. I call acting psychology on its feet. And I enjoyed that so much and was always my through line. I just was so shy and self-conscious and self-esteem issues that I was like, I could never be a therapist. I could never help anybody else. Cut to going through my own therapeutic journey, going, oh, this is magical. I need to spread the word. But it was with working with students was the big shift where I saw how much, because I worked with a lot of non-majors. So they were taking this acting class as an elective. And I'm like, okay, how do I get their interest? And these, for whatever reason, were like 3-hour classes at 8 a.m.
Yikes.
I know. I was like, shame on all of you here for signing up for this. Why would you do that to yourself? And so I was like, how do I make this work? For people that maybe don't want to do this in the future, don't want to be here, and just took it because a lot of them, their counselor said, just take it, it'll be easy. So I was like, well, how do I, let's see. Here's some acting techniques, some relaxation for job interviews, for a date you might go on. And ended up really connecting with a lot of the students on a personal level. That was my, that I was like, this is where it's at for me teaching wise. But I also recognize I wasn't a therapist. And so I have to like go, sorry guys, kids, I can't be there for you like this or that.
So where was the crossover where you made the decision to leave teaching and move into becoming a therapist?
There was always this momentum there, but the, wait a minute, who am I doing this for? Came to mind. I remember the morning I sat up in bed and said it out loud. Who am I doing this for? Because for so long, it felt like I enjoyed it, but it really turned into needing to prove something to the bullies at elementary school or junior high, or it was like this, keep chasing something. And I realized part of it was kind of, I think I just didn't, I love it, but I didn't need it anymore. And so I was working a lot in social activism and connecting with people in smaller global kind of ways through an organization I worked with. And I was like, I want to do more of this. I want for me have more of a sense of impact in a positive way, from the comforts of a chair. and so it's kind of, I get to still blend both the things that I love doing, which is that connecting, trying to understand, figure things out. And for me in sessions, it's like improv. There's structure, you know?
Yeah.
And this thing with, you know, there's always kind of like a structure to improv, no matter what it is in some way. And so that's what it feels a lot like.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's kind of where it just all came together, that I just moved on from that place and what acting and performing gave me in that way. So now it's more of, I can bring in those things and skills into sessions for people. And then also in my own time for fun, as opposed to the stresses of, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you?
So this is Sue Gothier-Pinn. I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist. And my master's degree is in counseling psych with a concentration in expressive arts therapy. So that's one of my specialties, is in everything I do, trying to incorporate the arts somehow. Where should I begin?
Yeah, I guess, you know, like, from the very beginning.
The very beginning. A very good place to start. La, 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 la.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. I guess, how did you, because that is an interesting juncture too, of, was it ever separate where you loved arts and going through your own mental health challenges, or an interest in that? Like, how did that come together? Give us the tea.
The tea. I was also wildly shy as a child, like painfully shy. But I loved musicals. I loved theater. But I was way too insecure to even think about auditioning for like the community theater. No way.
I'm absolutely having not. Memories right now.
Thematic memories.
Yes. Oh, seventh grade Cinderella.
Yes.
I was like,
Yes. And then I was in choir, I think, basically my whole life. I went to a Christian school. So, you know, choir was always part of the curriculum there. And I didn't get into acting and really like allowing myself to act or sing until I was close to 20. And I took some acting classes, I think around 20-ish. I ended up getting an agent for a hot minute and went
Ooh.
on a whole bunch of commercial auditions and did a whole bunch of like student short films, which was really cool. But what I found is that Hollywood is not so kind
No.
to young women. And very quickly, I was told, you need to get a tan, you need to get a nose job, a boob job, you need to look like Britney Spears. And that is not me. And I could tell that if I was to stay in it, it was really going to ruin my self-esteem and sense of self. So at the same time, I was going to Cal State Long Beach part-time, go beach. I was in psychology and I was thriving and I loved it. And so I decided to leave acting, pursue academia in psychology, got my bachelor's degree, and then went on to get my master's degree. And then haven't really gone back to acting until the last year or two during the pandemic.
I was gonna say, what brought that on? Well, a global pandemic.
Global pandemic that
some
radically
people
shifted
bake
things within
breads.
me.
Some, right.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And now I've got like the acting bug and the singing bug, and it's just been like continuous for the last couple years. And in terms of mental health, I had seen a therapist. I started seeing a therapist when I was like 18, and it was a very CBT, the basics of coping skills and understanding how your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors connect, but it wasn't really getting to the deeper stuff within me. And so someone recommended that I see this therapist that incorporated the arts and Santra and movement and music. And so I saw her, and that's when everything changed. That's when I radically felt better, and I decided in that moment, I was already thinking about becoming a therapist, but in that moment, I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. I want to give other people the gift of expressive arts therapy, give them a different way to talk about what's going on in their life. So, yeah, so then I made the decision and went off and did that.
I love that. So I made the decision and I went off and did that.
Yeah, da 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 da, off I go.
Right? We often hear the end of the story and we all can admire or feel like, oh, I wish I could just make a decision and go. But just wanted to point out, it's my therapist part coming in of like, there was a lot of history
Oh yeah,
leading
absolutely.
up,
Absolutely.
and that's how it
It's
goes.
not quite like here's the beginning of the journey, here's the end point. There's a lot of in between.
I like to bring up Harry Potter often. A lot happens from when he's living inside a closet, literally, not figuratively, and then when, saving all the whoosies and whatsies. I honestly have only seen Harry Potter once, but I know it's a good parable.
It
So,
is. Yeah.
yeah, the hero's journey.
Yes. I have another therapist friend, Sarah Scott, who I'm pretty sure she wrote one of her master's theses on the story of Harry Potter and how it relates to like different theoretical orientations and how it can be used as a metaphor in storytelling in therapy. That's like her jam.
I love that
We should have
stuff.
Sarah come on and talk about
Yes.
Harry Potter and therapy.
Listening to you also reminded me there's the first therapist I had. Not I needed one sooner. I just was like, I talk to my friends. I'm okay. There's no problem here. Going to therapy is very different. but he was a contemplative psychologist. So there was the mix of folklore, parables, storytelling, good old Jonathan Rainey, and Santray. So he was very Jungian Buddhist. And I remember sitting there at one point going, why doesn't he just tell me what to do? Oh. And so it would always come back to often with stories or analogies. And I found, I think that is probably what made all of it for me go, okay, wait, this all makes sense. Because it is, with acting, with the structure of music, there's a story. I mean, everything mirrors human experience. Expression is the human experience. It's just a different way to communicate it when, I guess regular words often aren't enough. So it's funny how it's like, how did someone get from A to Z? And really, when you look at it piece by piece, it all adds up.
Totally. I'm really curious if you can speak to, if you've had your own mental health challenges. I mean, you talked about going to see the therapist. What's his name? Jonathan.
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 Good old Jonathan.
And how have, we talked about professionally how the arts have been in your life, but for you, was there overlap in using the arts for your healing? Or like,
Oh,
what did that
yeah.
look like specifically for you?
I think there's a lot with it in a lot of ways. I think with, so if we were to say like how the arts have affected me in a healing way, again, the kind of the ability to, and that's the irony of it, especially I'll just pick like acting or singing. You are, it's you. You're putting yourself out there. But for me, and I think a lot of people, it's a little bit of a buffer that feels like you can take a little bit of space from it. And so, considering how shy I was growing up, I too got into choir in really in high school and theater, even though I always wanted to. My brother was in choir, so I admired that and wanted to be like him in that way. And finding positive, I guess, reinforcement, reflection in those environments, I think for me, that's a lot of what art gave is, oh, not only is there more minds that think this way, but people very similar. Some people very outgoing and comfortable, but they're or shy like me and kind of uncomfortable. And but still, you're both there going, I'm so glad you're here. And the purpose of why we're there is we're coming together, but there's a third in the room. And that's the nice buffer. I kind of call it that when you go out and about and you bring your laptop with you, maybe it's a coffee meetup and it's like, I don't know anybody, bring the third. It's the computer. You can always go back to it, you know.
I think about people bringing their dogs. The
Yes.
dog is the third.
Yeah. And so there's so many times with certain characters that allowed me to explore parts of myself in a safe way. That was very cathartic to maybe understand maybe there was characters that I played that hit too close or reminded me of certain people. A couple come to mind. And that was also very cathartic. And music, I love to play music. I play guitar and drums. There's no coincidence why music, elicits serotonin and dopamine responses and bilateral stimulation neurologically. That is self-soothing. So we think things are so separate, but there's a reason why they often come together. So I guess the feeling that I get, it's a safe way to feel that type of excitement to say the things that I was always too afraid to say with something that I can lean back on for safety and just a different way to communicate. Like, an experience that if someone, for instance, it was a lot of performing in front of others, an experience that they were able to have and communicate to me later also. And again, a way that's a little buffered is that third in the room that we all could speak about, as opposed to you made me feel this way, or you did that, or I wish you would have. It wasn't personal, but there was still a real experience under these imaginary circumstances. So,
Some fancy clinical words are externalization,
yes.
psychic distance, or aesthetic distance. There you go. There's your clinical words for what you're talking about.
And not coincidentally, why I got into therapy at that time in my life, I wanted to prior, I was really afraid. I was getting my MFA and I went through a gnarly breakup. And I was like my late 20s, I was like 28, and I really was like, I've used all the tricks. I don't know what to do about this one. I feel like caca-poo-poo. And I went to the, I didn't know where to start, so I got a hold of the, what is it called? The therapist at the school, at the college, you know, the student services peoples. And they got me in touch with a student, I get now knowing what they are, an associate, and saw them for a hot minute. And then they were like, okay, so we have to end, I can refer you out. And that's when they gave me this list again. This was how like anxious and defensive I was, because not only did I not need therapy, I already know how to talk about my problems. I also, Jonathan, she goes, and then there's this center, it's called Eastwind Healing Center. She's like, I don't know though, it might be a little kind of woo-woo and, you know, spiritual or something. I was like, I will throw salt in a circle at this point. I don't give no fucks. I need some help. Whatever you want, you know, sage it up, motherfucker. And so I was like, I haven't tried that. Okay. And I was like, okay, I'm going to see a dude named Jonathan. All right. And I go in and he's like the sweetest, nicest human being. And that was a huge one. All of the, what they call another clinical term, transference.
Oh yeah.
That I didn't realize. I, because of my anxiety, I was a walking projector. You know, you got to go stop, collaborate and listen when you think your therapist doesn't like you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he's judging me. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, the call is coming from inside the house.
Yes. You know? Inside the house. Yes.
Yeah. 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 So that's that long convoluted story of how the arts and that. And you know, the funny thing too is, again, not coincidentally, it made my acting better, because I was still acting for a while. After that, yeah, it's good, like probably 7 years I was still performing, but I kept finding ways to avoid it. You know, you're ready to move on and you're not allowing yourself when you find ways to get out of auditions, good ones too.
I sat on taking my acting classes for at least 6 months, and then finally my husband was like, just take the class already.
Right.
Avoiding.
Yeah. When it's ready to move on, forward, whatever it is, it was hard to give up that part of my identity. Because I also didn't realize how much that striving to get approval was a part of what I was struggling with personally. And when that started to heal is when more of me came through, and I was like, and that's when I said to myself, who am I doing this for? Why? I don't think I want to do this. I think I've proved whatever it was that I set out to do. And I was able to then enjoy expression as opposed to it being what felt like a bully.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you were able to shift from your performances needed to be like a product that you created that were kind of, you know, it has to meet a certain expectation, to just being able to enjoy the process
of
it?
Yeah.
Which is something that we're all about with expressive arts therapy, is that it's absolutely all about the process and not at all about the product. Well, it's not all about, you know, there's some good stuff that comes out when you process the product, but the focus is on the process.
Which is real, also what they push in acting classes, mm-hmm. performance, because if you are focused on the result of something, which is another thing we do in therapy, mm-hmm. if you focus on the result, and it's not to say that having a destination in mind is a bad thing. Sometimes mm-hmm. start at the end, work your way backwards. Mm-hmm. But working our way backwards or forward, it's steps. Mm-hmm. And so it's process, not product, with anything, especially with change. If we want to get there, start where you're at, notice, and go bit by bit. Mm-hmm. What, like for you too, Sue, like what is any personal experience, mental health challenges, you know, of how you've incorporated that with creativity, healing mm-hmm. process, anything? And the same thing of how the arts, you know, helped you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, I started going to therapy when I was like 18-ish, CBT, and then I found this woman, Marilyn Owen. Shout out to Marilyn. You are my favorite. I love you. So I remember pretty early on working with her, she invited me to create a painting and to just paint what I was feeling. And I made this pretty like angry, aggressive looking painting. And I'm like super sweet, mild and meek, right? Because that was what I was taught to be.
Right.
But there's this rage, the rage underneath. And so within this like first artistic, not assignment, but like invitation, she was able to see the rage. And I was able to see the rage and acknowledge that I was actually really angry for a lot of things that I had endured in my life. And I had never been able to really express that. You know?
Yeah.
So had she not invited me to do that, I don't know if I would have been able to process that and acknowledge that part. So there's that example. There's also this, she did sand tray with me because I'm shy. And sometimes when I'm nervous, I have trouble finding my words and I trip over my words and I stutter. She was like, let's do sand tray.
Right, right.
Which is a beautiful modality for folks who don't know what they want to talk about. They don't have words for what they have experienced, or they're shy and got a little self-conscious about talking about things. Sand tray is beautiful. So I remember picking these figurines and like all of my family dynamics came out in the tray that I didn't even know were a problem. And then it was like right there looking back at me. So she could see what was going on and I could see what was going on. It was really revelatory for me to see that. And then that was, you know, then we were able to process through that. I remember one of her, this is more of an attachment intervention, but she was like, I'm going to hug you at the end of session. Is that okay with you? And I was like, yeah, I need a hug. Which now I realize was an attachment intervention.
Right.
So this is part of what made her so warm and cozy and so safe to like even engage in the creative process, because it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, for most folks, and I think for myself as well, when you say art, people get very intimidated because they think like high art, museum art. I'm not an artist. I'm not creative. I haven't drawn since I was 2, right? So it can be really intimidating. And she was so gentle with me and so warm and just so inviting. I also remember doing a lot of movement with her, which now I understand from a trauma-informed lens was helping me to connect back with my body because I was very disconnected. So it's like all these things that I didn't realize what was happening until I went to grad school and learned about it.
Right.
But it was really incredible to work with Marilyn in all these different ways. And then another example is, I think it was 2016. I was going through a bit of a depressive episode. Not even a bit. It was deep and dark and scary in there.
It was a whole dinner.
And Anne Wellman from the Long Beach Community Theater, shout out to Anne. She invited me to participate in, you know, the fall show of the Long Beach Community Theater. And it was on the magic of music. And if you haven't been to a Long Beach Community Theater show, it's all personal stories that are told through performance, music, dance, poetry. It's kind of like a variety show on a theme. And so I wrote this monologue that had, it was all about musicals and how I found my voice through musicals. Like if I couldn't find something to say, I would just sing it. And that whole process of writing the monologue, getting some validation feedback from Anne and the cohort that was performing, and then, you know, facing my fears. At one point I was like, peace out, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And I would drive to a rehearsal just like shaking and wanting to throw up because I was so scared. But I did it, faced my fear and did it, and was so thrilled with the actual performance. And it's on YouTube if you want to go watch it, Magic of Music, Long Beach Community Theater. And that process was so healing that I actually wrote a chapter for a book about how to use art in the community to heal the community. Wrote all about it. I'm not supposed to put my hands on the table. I was making lots of noise. I got shushed.
The itsy bitsy spider.
Sorry. I was warned that, you know, we're used to, like, touching the table, but it's very loud while we're recording. Apologies. Anyway, now I forget where I was at.
But, monologues. But... And you were mentioning, I think, about writing.
Oh, yeah. I wrote this chapter for this textbook about how to incorporate... or like the healing aspects of being involved in community theater. And so I was like, okay, from the perspective of cognitive behavioral therapy, it really helped me to restructure some beliefs and helped me, because your body is engaged, really helped me to pay attention to how my thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are connected. It was, there's an attachment piece there when you get involved in community theater, like the Long Beach Community Theater, I think especially, because they're very heart-centered, but I felt very attached to Anne. I felt like she was rooting for me. I felt very attached to my cohort of performers, that they were rooting for me. And then I felt like the community, when we performed, they were rooting for me. So it was this really beautiful moment of reaching out of the deep, dark depression and feeling not alone.
And it sounds like a reparative experience.
Yes, another clinical word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Get your bingo cards out. especially, you know, what popped in my head was when you mentioned when you were younger and that experience of, you know, getting the agent and commercials and this whole, oh, you're not good enough to be here, even though we asked you to come.
Exactly.
So be a product.
Yes.
Because we want more of that product until people don't want to buy that anymore.
Yeah.
And then we're going to just... put something else, someone else in, because you're just an object.
Yes. So yeah, being with the community theater was absolutely a reparative experience, that I could just show up as me and write my own piece and be my silly, goofy self and could connect with people. It was lovely. Okay, that's my thought so far. Oh, okay, another example is that last summer... when I went back to taking acting classes, the level 2 at my acting studio here in Long Beach, check them out. They're fabulous. Charles Tintindo is a wonderful teacher and mentor. So Charles had us write our own pieces in the level 2 acting class. And I wrote this piece now called Mosquito Mother. And there happened to be a director in our class. And he really liked this monologue. He was like, hey, let's turn this monologue into a short film. And so I did that last summer, something that I just wrote for funsies,
right,
turned into a short film that's now, you know, we're putting it out to festivals. But that story is about my journey with infertility. Mm-hmm. And so it was very cathartic to write that, perform it, and then to have someone say, hey, this is great. We should make it even bigger. It felt really good. And it felt really validating. And I feel a lot better about that journey.
I would imagine too, because it's not in isolation anymore.
Yeah.
And it depends on the topic, situation, and person. So it's not a hard and fast rule that do that with all your things, people, because it's going to be very cathartic. But a lot of times it is. I find to me the biggest part of suffering is believing and feeling like you're alone in it. No matter what that may be. So that makes sense. That's awesome.
Thanks. I'm really curious if, I think earlier you said, you know, now you're kind of wanting to go back to things for funsies. So how do you incorporate the arts or artistic expression in your life for like self-care?
Yeah, I, you know, back a hot second when you mentioned, I forgot about this, when I was in high school, going through a lot with, like, I was outed by my high school to my parents as gay. This was 1996, my friends. So, in the Midwest. And then I had to switch schools because I was getting bullied so much. And then at the new school, it was like, don't tell anybody you're gay, don't tell anything. It won't be safe. And it was only when I got into choir and theater that I found other people who felt like me, not only just gay or gender or so forth, but We're also told it's not safe to be yourself in certain areas, but here you can. And I wrote a few monologues that it's like one of them, because I was a little rebellious. It was really good, and all the students in the class wanted a copy of it, and people were, like, crying. It was all, like, rebellious and listening to this and that. And then I guess I found out years later that my theater teacher almost got fired because of it, because a parent found it and complained. You know, oh, my God, the truth hurts. Bottle it up, I guess. But it was, so, yeah, and then just writing. So I think now a thing for me is... And I need to write out more of kind of thoughts and so forth. But creating these kind of monologues, whether it's about myself in some way or an idea or a concept, and making it kind of have a beginning, middle, and an end to it. I also play music a lot, mostly my drums. That I've wanted drums.
I remember when you got your drums. You were so happy.
Yes. That was my COVID purchase. I wanted drums my whole life. Of course, you know, growing up, they did not have electronic drums, which involve no sound. You can put your headphones on. So my parents were like, we're not doing that. We're not doing drums. So it was, yeah, during COVID, I'm like sitting outside, you know, playing drums on my lap, listening to music, and it dawned on me, I could buy drums. So I did. And I turn music up real loud. I have smart lights in there and turn on. So I always say I'm going on tour. And I we'll go in there and play along to music. And that's a great self-care one for me because I don't have to think, I just feel. I'm in my head a lot. And so being in my body and just feeling, and also I have trauma in my background. So being alone with all that can be overwhelming. So having, again, the third, which to me is the music, helps me connect to whatever I'm feeling in a way that feels like it's not so much an isolation. But I am. But again, my subconscious doesn't know that, so we go with it. So that, you know, has been a lot of what I've been doing is more so kind of on my own. But what I would like to get into more is maybe doing some plays again. The thing is, I started transitioning 2 years ago at 40. And there's, again, the identity pieces are so layered. Our jobs are often a part of our identity. Our family of origin, you know, how we look, what we wear, all everything can be really put in as a layer of identity. And when you lose, want to get rid of, or change one of those, there's a little bit of kind of reestablishing your footing again. And so identity of gender and expressing that outwardly instead of just holding it in since I was four, knowing, hey, I don't think I'm a lady. I'm nervous and I don't know how to start in a way, but, and my voice is changing. So that one's a hard one.
And I remember, you know, you would sing all the time.
Oh yeah.
And now it's kind of like finding your voice again and finding, what are they called? Like what?
Range.
Yeah. Your range. Yeah. Now.
And so that's been a bummer, my voice wise, the irony of losing your voice to gain it, you know, very Little Mermaid. very, very, very.
Where they walk.
I propose right now. But at the same time, I guess, and this is my strength based Jungian therapist part, it's some of that shadow stuff because it's like I get to just start over. Because me in space now can be very different. And before, when I, you know, I had long hair, makeup, did all that stuff to try to fit into an idea. But I was like the strong neighbor, you know, the character actress, you know, where I could be brassy and ballsy and not, you know, well, that's Chip, our neighbor. But now it's kind of, yeah, it's a very interesting experience that one is, it sounds scary, but it's also very exciting because I get to reestablish myself in that artistic expression from a truthful place that I am figuring out. Yeah. So that's my herp coming up next. And I would love to be curly in Oklahoma. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow, but I can't go probably higher than that. So we'll see. I might be Judd. That's okay either. Just please don't. Adel Annie would be fine too, actually. I'm not gonna lie. I'm non-binary, by the way. But I wouldn't want to be, is it, which one's the lead's name?
Don't
It's a
know.
beautiful song though.
I
I
haven't
forget
watched
her name.
Oklahoma
See,
in so long.
that's how not cis woman I am. I'm like, I don't know what her name is. I want to I'll be the dudes or the kind of like, yeah, she's a little in between there over there. Lori, her name's Lori, bless her heart. Yeah. Don't know where else to go with that. I'll leave it at that. And
We're talking about.
yeah.
Oh yeah,
Oh.
self-care. Arts and self-care.
Yes. I like to make jokes a lot. That's
Yes, you do.
even if no one's paying or asked for it. So that's a little bit of my self-care. Again, that third
Have I asked you if you ever thought about doing comedy? Like
stand
stand-up
up.
comedy?
Yes, and I used to do improv, but that's a team sport. I'm so afraid of doing stand up. This is the funny thing about me. I have gone out at shows and emceed whatever and completely no script, improvise, and I get to use the audience and basically a stand up. But in my mind, there's a sense of permission that's different as opposed to, and I think again, it's my fear projecting of, oh, you're a comedian. You're here to make me laugh. Instead of, oh, you're the in-between moment to get us to another section. If this is whatever, that's fine.
Because I've seen you run groups. So we used to work
Oh,
at the
yes.
same treatment center in Orange County. That's how we met. And we would run some groups together. And I'm like, you're basically doing a stand-up routine when you run groups.
know. That's part of my own anxiety. There's another word, assimilation. Humor. Humor was the way to, again, that buffer between shy Chris and truthful, here we are, Chris. And that is still, it's just such an ingrained part of my personality. So I would love to do stand up. You're not the first person to ask. I guess I just need to just record myself talking to myself and see what happens. Because sitting down to do something, we get flooded with what's the product going to be?
Fear, anxiety, insecurity, it has to be good. Well, I have a resource for
Oh
you.
my gosh, yes.
My acting studio that I mentioned earlier with Charles Tintindo, he has a beginner comedy class where at the end of the series you do a little show.
I should do
And
it.
it's a warm, fuzzy environment. It's not scary, competitive. They're lovely there. But it's with Flappers University.
Okay, yeah.
Are you familiar with
Flappers
that?
comedy,
Flappers Comedy. So their teachers come in and run it there.
Okay. I'm already starting to feel the anxiety in my stomach and the hyperventilation in my chest. The young me going, I have to get it right. I gotta be the good student. I should do this to play with it because the ghosts of Chris's Christmas past are not, they ain't kicking no mo.
And just like how we talked about
Yes.
where the avoidance comes up real strong,
Oh, yeah.
is maybe a place to lean into.
Let it go, let it go. And naming I'm a big fan of naming it, so I probably would start my set with, hi, this is my first time doing this. This is your first time hearing me, so we both have a firsties. I'm a therapist. How you doing? Right? Yeah, there we go. Okay. And then, at worst case scenario, I just cry and run. Yeah. Done that before. That doesn't sound like the worst case. Okay, I'm in. I'll have to check it out. Yeah, yeah. Because I do. I want to do that. Then I've got nothing to lose, only things to gain.
Mm-hmm.
I could lose the anxiety. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice.
Build confidence.
Yeah, I like building.
Yeah.
I'm Bob the Builder.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were sharing, I was trying to think of some ways that I incorporate the arts into my own self-care.
Mm-hmm.
As an expressive arts therapist, good practice is that we should have our own arts practice going on, as a way for us to use the arts to keep processing in our own personal lives.
Is that hard? My codependency part came out with, oh my God, if I was an art therapist strictly, and then I had to practice my own arts, I would love it at first. And then I would start to be like, arts is scary.
Oh, no.
No,
it feels good. I feel like it's less scary now.
Ooh.
Because I think I was more intimidated when we started. They're like, oh my God, I have to commit to this, and I don't know where it's going to go, and
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But now I've been doing it since, 2012?
Yeah.
So it just feels good.
Ooh.
And it's not, constant. You know, there's ebbs and flows to it, as if I'm busy, you know, it's harder to dedicate more time to it. But I'm really finding that I'm writing quite a bit.
Ooh.
I'm writing a one-woman show right now, which I just got feedback from a writing coach that I'm closer to finishing it than I thought I was. So that's exciting. And then, you know, taking the acting classes. I haven't really been auditioning. I'm not necessarily taking acting classes to, you know, become a Hollywood star and audition. It's more just for fun. Make friends, have a laugh, build my confidence. And then participate in the Long Beach Community Theater and some Cal State Long Beach student films that I've been in last year.
Yeah.
So that's been the big way more recently, more performance-based. And then I always love art journaling. It's really accessible to just plop down and do some art journaling to get some imagery out.
Yeah.
And that's always really revealing. I always have something reflected back to me that I wasn't aware of. So it's a really helpful process for building self-awareness and going deeper with myself than what I think I could just do talking to myself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because it's having that thing outside, you know, of us, and then going through with that objective eye, that I think for a lot of people, myself included, I now understand it, so I'm less intimidated by that. But it's like, okay, draw or write something, or, you know, I do a lot with dream analysis.
Ooh, dream analysis.
Dream analysis. And kind of mapping that out. And or I've had people like draw a scene from the dream,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we go through. And the fun part about all of this is, inside somewhere, you already know. You are the smartest person in the room of you.
Yes, you're the expert on yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And having outside, I wonder, what about this or what about that? It's kind of like going, I don't know what I want to eat today. And someone's like, what about Italian food? No, what about Chinese food? Yes, actually, that sounds great. It's the same thing that I do with dream analysis or any sort of kind of, analytical intervention, is giving that interpretation. And a lot of it will be verbal, but also, yeah, a lot with clients with, let's just draw, listen to music. Or if a client's bring in stuff that they've been working on,
mm-hmm.
and it's too scary to talk about themselves, so they're like, I resonate with this character I wrote, mm-hmm. although it's fictional,
mm-hmm.
and talked about that and how it fits with their life, or is there anything familiar? And so, yeah, anything that kind of gives us, I think of it like, you know, we can go, sometimes you can't go straight into the front door of the house.
Absolutely.
So many different ways.
Yeah.
That's why I love art.
Me too, and creativity, and especially working with mental health, there's so many creative ways to go about getting into the work.
Yeah.
Like you said, because sometimes going straight through the front door is way too much. And sometimes you got to go, you know, around back, down the cellar, up the back stairs, through the Narnia closet.
In the river, in the woods.
Yes.
Don't stop at Grandma's house. We don't have time for that. And Narnia, yes.
Yes. Anything else you want to chat about, my friend?
I don't know. Right now, I just want to go, like, do stand up in a coffee shop or something. And
let me see. We did have questions to keep us on track, because sometimes Christian and I can just go off track and go off on a tangent, and we have to lasso ourselves back. What's your word? I lasso myself back. What's your word?
I think I said something like catch the kite.
Yes,
that's catch flying the away. Kite.
Yes.
Kite running.
Ooh, okay, here's a question that doesn't have to do with mental health.
Oh.
But.
It's about donuts.
Ooh, what's your favorite donut?
Oh my god, I'm so glad you asked. I have a two-part. I am so into maple frosted donuts right now, but they have to be the pastry kind, not like this, the traditional, you know, how they're like more like cake.
No.
That's hard to describe. Because they're like, one could say they're all cake. Fluffy, airy. There we go. Mm. I like the airy ones, maple on top, or Boston cream. Do you know what I miss? It's called Tim Hortons, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. If you ever see one, Tim Hortons is the in and out of Canada, but for donuts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're around, like, in Michigan, probably Ohio. If you ever find yourself, you know, I'm from the Midwest. I can say this, stranded. You can find yourself at Tim Hortons. Or go to the Great Lakes. It's beautiful. Donut you?
I'm not a huge donut fan because I'm more of a salty gal than a sweets gal. So I'm kind of a basic bitch when it comes to donuts, and I like a glazed twisty.
Not mad about it. I'm glad at least you showed up, you know? you
glazed twisty. Or the ones that have like the really fine sugar on them. I don't know what those are called.
I think they're called sugar donuts.
Oh, sugar donuts. Those are
literally.
Nice too. Yeah. I don't like anything with chocolate. I don't like the filled ones. I'm not a huge fan of the sprinkles. Give me just basic donuts if I'm going to have a donut.
You like sunsets too, don't you?
I don't.
Sunrises, sunsets. You know, I just want the, I just like a sunrise and sunset and just, you know, a little sugar on my donut. Just. It's not a judgment. It's an observation. It's.
but you get me talking about nachos, tacos, burritos. Yeah. That's a different story. We can get into that a different time. My question that I was going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do any creative pursuit.
Oh, man.
And money was not an option, time was not an option, you had all the time in the world, all the money in the world, what would you want to do?
Oysies. I don't know.
Big question. Loaded question.
If you caught me in the early or the mid-2000s, I would have said, I want to be on Glee. And and I want to be in a relationship with Demi Lovato's character on the one season when they were in New York. But, you know, I don't know. If I had any ability as well.
Yeah.
And stuff too. Like, you know, oh my God. You know what I wish I could do really well? I'm an actor who can dance or move.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could dance. Mm. I wish I could Derek Huff and Puff it all over the place. I have a very, I want to say, healthy crush on him. He is just mesmerizing.
Yes.
Yeah. That little dude can move. I wish I could dance like that, or be in like West Side Story. Like, I would love to do musical theater and be a dancer, not just someone that can kind of fake it.
You want to be enough. A triple threat.
I do. I want to threaten people, but in threes and in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to write that down so I can make more friends with that. I'm here to threaten you, but times three. Wait, don't leave just yet. In a good way. But yes, I would do that. And then outside of that, I probably would write for TV. I really
Yes,
like just sitting
this is what I want to
and
do.
doing things.
So this is mine. One, I would love to be on Broadway and have like a stellar voice. I have like, I have a voice, but I would like a stellar voice that makes people stop in their tracks and like, oh, yes. So that would be great. Love to be on Broadway. I like your answer. I would too like to be a dancer instead of just like, white girl dancing.
Right, understand.
But I would love to write for TV. I want to write a TV sitcom, which we've talked about, maybe
Yes.
co-writing,
Gonna knock on our door.
about baby therapists working in treatment centers.
Oh, yes.
That would be my dream. And then, Netflix picks it up or something like that. But I'm like in the writing room. I don't just sell it to them. I'm like in the writer's room working with them. Oh, would love that.
Yes.
Somebody make it happen.
Make it so.
So,
Triple threat.
beloveds who are listening, we have to wrap up. Thank you so much for listening. Please check out the Expressive Arts Collective of Long Beach. We offer creative skill-based groups, heart-centered support groups, and expressive arts therapy. Christian,
Yes.
anything you want to promote or throw out there?
You can, if you're interested in discovering more about me, you can look for Christian Starnes, licensed marriage family therapist on Psychology Today, and also website.com. And
Christian Starnes.
Christian Starnes.
Did you change it?
I'm going to today.
Oh.
Because my name legally just changed like a hot second ago. So you can find it under Christy Starnes license MFT or Christian Starnes. Either way, it's me today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Your greatest hits.
And you can find out more about the collective on Instagram at Expressive Arts Collective LB. And then for myself and my practice, you can go to suegothierpin.com. You can also find me, Sue Gothier Pin, LMFT, on Psychology Today. Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.